holy God.
Amen.
We serve an awesome God.
Amen.
He is our Father.
Amen.
And He has given us promise after promise,
amen,
after promise after promise.
Amen.
In the Word of God, this book, it is said that this is the Bible. Our basic instructions before leaving earth.
Hallelujah.
That's the reason that He gave us the Word of God. He gave us the Word of God so that we would be able to be taught, so we would learn, and most of all, the reason that He has given us this book is so that we would be ready when He comes back.
That's right. Amen.
So that we would not be caught unprepared.
That's right.
So that we would look at all of the prophecies and the promises in the Word of God, and we would be ready.
Amen.
We would be a bride who is ready,
amen,
for His return.
Right.
If you want to, if you have your Bibles with you and you're taking notes, turn to in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14 through 18. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep, or to grieve like the rest of the world who has no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. According to the Lord's own words, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call,
amen,
of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever.
Amen.
Encourage one another with these words.
Amen.
God has given us the Word of God so that we would be ready for His return. He's coming back for a church.
Amen.
The Bible says He's coming back for a church without stain or wrinkle. How many of you, honestly, if you look inwardly in yourself, and if today was the last day of your life, if leaving this diner was the last day that you were on this earth, where do you think you would end up? Where do you think would be your resting place in your current condition? God knows your heart. God knows your life. God knows your mind. God knows what happens in your life when no one's looking, when no one's around. He sees inwardly.
Amen.
And God has sent me today as like John the Baptist coming, forewarning the coming of Christ. I come to encourage you. Jesus is coming back. This is real. And we hear it. And people say it. And we've gotten so used to hearing it. Yeah, Jesus is coming back. Yeah, that could be a million years from now. And we downplay the reality that tonight could be the return of the Lord.
Amen.
He could come back tonight for all we know. And
awesome.
And He says that we have to be ready. We have to be like the people in Egypt, that right before they left Egypt, Moses told them, don't have your staff in your hand. You have to be ready to go at a moment's notice. We are here temporarily. This is not our home. This is where we are waiting until we get home. Do you understand,
amen,
that our home is in heaven? Our home is in eternity. We are mortal creatures now, but our life will begin when we enter into eternity. That's when we begin. This thing that we're calling now life, this is a drop in the bucket. This is a stopover. This is where we were born, we exist, and this is the place where we decide where we're gonna spend the rest of our life. And our life will begin when this life ends. When this imperishable sack called a human being comes to an end, and I become what the Bible calls the imperishable, and I have my new body now, that's when I'm gonna go to heaven. That's when my eternal life will start. I want you to write some verses down. I'm not gonna read them right now, but I'm gonna paraphrase on them, but I want you to have them for the purpose of you going back and referencing everything that I speak about, because whenever anyone,
amen,
shares the Word of God with you, you never take what a preacher tells you at face value.
Right.
You take what they say, the verses that they quote,
amen,
and you go home and you analyze. You cross-reference what they say with the Word of God.
Right.
And if what they say does not match up with this book, you disregard it, because this book is the final authority. This book is the Word of the Lord. This is His revelation to humanity, His revelation to mankind, so that we would have clear instructions on what we are to do.
Amen.
Write down these verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 35 through 58. Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, 37. Luke 17, 26. You know, the Bible says that Jesus is coming is going to be sudden. It's going to be like a thief in the night. It's going to be, the Bible says that in the twinkling of an eye, in a blink, the twinkling of an eye. That means in the time it takes you to blink your eye will be the return of the Lord. It's going to be sudden, like the flood. And you know what? It's going to be like in the time of Noah. The Bible says that people in the time of Noah, Noah was preaching his heart out, and he was warning the people. The Lord told me to build a boat. The Lord told me there's judgment coming. The Lord told me, get ready, make yourself right. And people ignored him. He told him building this boat on dry land, and they thought he was a nut. They thought he was out of his head. He's building a boat. He's crazy. And up until, the Bible says that up until the day that the flood started, that people were marrying and giving in marriage, celebrating, drinking, rivalry, doing, living their life as if nothing was ever gonna happen. No judgment's ever gonna come. But I'm here to tell you today, there is a judgment coming on this earth. Amen. And the time of that judgment is gonna be when the church is no longer here. And there's a place and a time that's coming in the future when Jesus returns. And the Bible says that Jesus will appear in the clouds and that the church will be called up into the sky with him. And you have to ask yourself, do I wanna be among those who will go, or do I wanna be among those who will stay? And that depends on the condition of your heart. I can't make that decision. I can't judge that. Only God will judge that, and only God sees your heart. And God has told me to come here today to let you know it's time to start taking God seriously. It's time to start taking God seriously. It's time to stop living with one foot in and one foot out.
Amen.
It's time, because we don't know when tomorrow is going to come. We don't know when his return is. And God wants every one of you to be saved. God wants every one of you to go with him. No, he doesn't want anyone to be left behind. Matthew chapter 25, verse 1. Open your Bibles to that. There are so many distractions in the world right now. Everything that's happening. And the enemy is using every strategy that he can use to specifically target a specific demographic. Right here. The men. Because if he can distract us, he can affect the church, because revival will only start in the church when the men take their rightful place in their homes, in their communities, in the church. And when we decide to now become the priests of our home, where we take the leadership spiritually in our homes, where our wives are not the ones always going to the prayer service, where our wives, something's wrong, and we run to our wives, pray for me, honey. No. You, as men of God,
amen,
you should be the one. You,
amen,
are the priest of your home.
Amen.
You should be the one going and laying hands on your wife and anointing,
amen,
her with oil and believing and fighting in the spirit for your family. That's,
amen,
your responsibility in God's eyes.
Amen.
And God wants the men of God to wake up. He wants us to take our place as the priest of our homes. He wants us to stop with the silliness and grow up. It's time. It's time for us to put aside childish things. And we need to step into maturity in God. Some of us here have been saved a long time. I don't know how long you've been walking with the Lord. Only God knows. But I'm here to tell you that God is saying, it's time. It's time. And I know, and this was a difficult word to break. This was a word that I was like, wow, Lord. All right, you know. But I have to be obedient to what God is telling,
amen,
me. Because this word is not just for you, man. This word is for the church. This is a word that God is telling me needs to be spoken in churches. The church needs to hear this. The men of God, on a Wednesday night prayer service in my church, it breaks my heart where I see a sea of women, maybe one, two men,
uh-huh,
coming out to pray.
Uh-huh.
On a fasting and prayer service,
uh-huh,
all women, maybe one, uh-huh, maybe two, maybe three men. We need to start stepping it up. And you know what? This is the beginning. God is bringing this word to you guys because he wants you to share this word forward. It's not just for you. You're the recipient of the word. You're being impregnated with this word. But this word, God has given it to you so that you can get pregnant with this word, and you can take this word and start sharing it with other men. With other,
amen,
men who are not here perhaps tonight, who come to this fellowship, but where you can start echoing this message because it's so needed in the church. Matthew chapter 25, verse 1. Does everyone have it?
Yeah.
This is the parable of the 10 virgins. And the Bible talks about 10 virgins. There were 5 who were wise and 5 who were unwise. And if you read in the contrast of this, the scripture verse was from 1 to 13. In this scripture verse, it talks about 2 types of virgins, and they both had lamps. But the difference between the wise and the unwise was that the virgin with no oil, there was one virgin who had no oil, and the other virgin took the time to keep her lamp filled with oil. And what happened was, they were all waiting for the bridegroom. They were waiting for his return. And the 5 unwise virgins, they felt like it wasn't that important to have their oil filled. They felt, you know what? When the bridegroom arrives, I could always just go get some oil. It's not that important. And some of us, we live our lives in a way where, you know what? Like you shared, right before I die, I'll just make it right with the Lord. I'll repent right before I kick the bucket. But some of us don't know. What if it's sudden? What if you're walking and you get hit by a bus and you don't see it coming? What if you fall down a flight of stairs and you don't know? What if you have a heart attack? What if it's sudden and you don't have that time? You don't have that opportunity to make it right with God. What then? That's why the Bible says that they're the wise virgins. They had the oil filled. And it is so important. Oil represents the Holy Spirit. In this walk with God, if all you do is read the Bible, and all you do is go to church, you are an incomplete Christian. You are an incomplete believer, because there is an experience that is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And without that experience, you will never be able to live a victorious Christian life. You will always struggle in your walk, and you will always fall. Because it is only through the empowering of the Holy Spirit that you and I can live righteously in this life. Because it's not us, it's not me, it's not you. Anthony can't do it. It's only the Holy Spirit in him that empowers him to resist the desires of his flesh, to resist the thoughts of his mind, that when thoughts come into his mind that he knows they're not from God, it's the Spirit of God that says, cast those thoughts out of your mind. Don't Amen. Engage them. Don't entertain them. Amen. Don't look at her. Amen. Don't say that. And it's the conviction of the Holy Spirit that keeps you in line and helps you walk. And if you don't have that experience, if you don't have that connection with God, you need to pursue that. The Bible says that he has given us the Spirit of God. It's a gift. He's given it to us as a gift, that we would just receive it by faith. The same way that you receive salvation, he's saying there's another experience called the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And that's available for you. But that's not something that you get freely just by, you have to seek God.
Amen.
And you have to not seek, you have to not seek the gift. It's very important that we not chase after the gifts of God. Oh God, I want the gift of prophecy. Oh God, I wanna speak in tongues. Or I wanna, you know, move in the healing gifts. It's not about seeking the gifts of the Spirit. There's a gift that's called the gift of giving. It's not about seeking the gifts of the Spirit. It's called, you have to seek the giver and not the gifts. Because when you seek the giver, the gifts come automatically.
Amen.
But you just seek the giver. You Amen. Seek God. You go to God and you say, God, you know what? I want everything that you have for me. All the fullness of the experience of what it is to be your child. The fullness of the experience of what it is to be connected with you. I want to walk in that fullness. And that's available for us. All we have to do is just step out in faith. Pursue him. Believe and receive it. It's like, if this is the gift that I have, God, this is the Holy Spirit, and I'm playing God, and Anthony wants it, all he has to do is ask me for it, and I will give it to him. And he has it in his hand. And there are people who receive it, the gift, and it's wrapped. It's in a box. And they hold on to it. And many years, they walk with that gift. And they say, thank you, God, for my gift. I got my gift. I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But they have not unlocked it. They haven't opened it up. They haven't understood that there's more than just the box that he gave you. It's not about the box. It's about what's inside the box. And you know what? The Bible says that there's something called the river of God. And that river, the Bible says that there are levels and depths in that river. The Bible says that the prophet went in and he received a prophetic revelation from God. And God told him, come into the river. And he stepped into the river up to his ankles. And he says, you have experienced me ankle depth. He says, come deeper. And God told him to go deeper. And he went deeper into the river. And then he was up to his knees in the river. And then he went deeper into the river. And he was up to his waist. Until God told him, come deeper into the river. And God called him to the point where he was swimming in the river. And that's the place that God wants us to be as believers. Because when we swim in the anointing, when the anointing of God is overflowing in our life, we will be able to resist this world and the things that it sends. We will be able to stand as a voice of righteousness in our communities with all of the distractions is happening. There's so much going on now, so much distraction, so much. You go on Facebook now and all it is hate after hate after hate and people bashing each other about politics. And the saddest thing is that's even happening among believers. Where I see one believer bashing another believer, and we need to understand that we are not citizens of this nation. Our citizenship is in heaven.
That's right.
And we need to understand, we can't get caught up in Democrats and Republicans. We get caught up in righteousness. That's where we need to be sure. We need to get caught up in righteousness and what stands for what we believe in as believers. Don't get caught up in political affiliations. Get caught up in what aligns itself with the Word of God. What aligns itself with what we believe as the church. Because when we align ourselves with what the church stands for, it'll be a blessing to you and your family. So don't get distracted. The enemy is sending all those things right now as distractions where people will get caught up in going to marches and rallies and this and protesting that and protesting this. And that's just another way for the enemy to distract people. It's just another way for him to distract what's happening in the here and the now. God is looking for holiness. He's looking for sanctification. Sanctification means we separate ourselves. We separate ourselves from this world and from the way that the world thinks. I want to give you 7 points on how we can ensure that we're ready when the Lord returns. Point one, we need to pray. We need to pray without ceasing. We got to pray without ceasing. We need to stay connected to God. We need to stay in communion with the Father at all times. Point two, we need to fill our hearts with the Word of God. The Bible says in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, that the good man, out of the good things stored in his heart, brings those things forward. And the same thing, that if we fill our heart with things that are not good, those are the things that are going to come forward. Those are the things that we're going to speak. The Bible says that a man speaks out of the abundance of his heart. Point three, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Every day we should ask the Father to give us the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And if you are already baptized in the Holy Spirit, a fresh infilling of the Spirit. Because the experience of being baptized in the Holy Spirit is not a one-time experience. It is an ongoing infilling. It's like a cup being filled continually. And that cup has to be continually filled and filled and filled and filled and filled. And then it gets to a point where it's overflowing. But then it gets to a point where it goes down again. And you feel this, those are the times you feel disconnected from God. And you feel like you're more in the flesh. And you need to seek God more. And then God, He fills you up to a point where you're overflowing. And God wants your cup overflowing. So it's out of the overflow that you can give back. It's out of the overflow that you can serve. It's out of the overflow you can preach. It's out of the overflow that you can go visit somebody in the hospital when you could be doing something else. Amen. It's out of the overflow that you see someone in need and you help them financially. It's out of the overflow that we love one another. Point four, we need to guard our hearts. We need to let the meditation of our minds be continually on God. That an idle mind it could be the devil's workshop. Point five, we need to walk in the Spirit. We need to take advantage of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to empower us to walk in holiness And we need to love the Father and Jesus by walking in obedience to the teachings of Christ.